Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast.
Everyone has at least one good story.
And some of us have stories that are just to the left of normal.
We're interested in the ones that push the boundaries of what we can perceive.
Stories that defy explanations.
Stories with an air of mystery.
Stories we might not share.
For fear of being thought of differently.
But don't worry. We're all friends here. So, what's your weird story?
Hello, everyone. I'm your host, Barry Johnston. With me, as always, my counterpart, Mr. Adam Beebe. How we doing, Adam?
Hey, Barry. I am doing mighty fine. Thank you very much.
Well, good. We go back this week to a friend of ours that we grew up with in our small town community of Kingfisher, Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of step into a little bit different direction. You know, most of the stories that we've had from there up until now have been sort of based around the ghost type stories. And this one, actually, I've never really heard of many Bigfoot type sightings, but we got one. We got one. And I'm pretty excited about it and looking forward to getting into that.
Yeah, man. You know, when we set this interview up, Shan just popped up. Our guest today is our friend Shan, who's a couple of years younger than us. And he just popped up one day on the Facebook feed saying, "Hey, man, I want to tell you the story." And then I was like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, put on the brakes. Don't tell me too much," because that's part of what we like to hear it fairly fresh. I don't want to hear everything. So he was excited about it. And we got him in real quick for an interview, man. He was gung-ho, and we got him on. And, but yeah, this takes place right there in our hometown. And what we wanted to have our special Bigfoot correspondent and voice of the listener, Jeff Hubbard, Esquire, during the interview, but we just couldn't line it up. But we're going to do a special, a bonus episode that'll be here shortly after this episode, where Jeff's going to listen to the interview, he's going to take notes, and he's going to make some comments, and we're going to have a discussion about that.
That's wonderful. Can't wait to hear.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is a Bigfoot story.
Yeah.
And it's there in our hometown.
Yeah. And not far outside city limits, which is crazy.
Just right on the edge, man. Right there on the edge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's an involved story, and it is one that we, you know, out of the Bigfoot stories that we've had, there's not really one like this where it involves so much stuff. So,
and Shan, like, I mean, he paints a picture.
Yeah.
He really sets the scene, and it's really cool. And he said that, you know, this experience changed his life, and I'm convinced it has, because of just how he swears, you know, that how it has affected his life, you know. And it's just such a really cool story. We should just get to it.
Let's get to it. Let's get to it. So, Shan, what's your weird story?
So, you guys, I got a real weird story, and I hope I can bring as much enthusiasm to it this 112th time that I've told the story, because there was so much magic to it the first 2 years that I told the story. I mean, it changed my life, and I'm not kidding you, it really did. It changed my life for a year or two afterwards, just knowing and seeing what I seen. But I've told the story so many times, and so I'm going to try to find, I know I can. But, okay, I'm going to sit you here.
We believe in you, man. And here's the thing. It's like, there's a certain magic. You know, you got fresh ears. You know, you got a captive audience. And also, it's not just us, man. There's the world now is out here to hear your story. And we want to hear it. And so we're going to imbue this kind of that magic that you need, and that you charge you with it. And so, you know.
Well, this is the real deal. This really happened. So I'm going to put you there. This happened in Kingfisher County. You know, you've talked about the concho sightings or whatever. Mm-hmm. Well, so we're only 20 miles away. And what is anything doing around concho anyway? It would only prove with these planes around here that these are a nomadic beast, for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely nomadic. They're not going to sit and hibernate in these planes anywhere. We don't got no holes and caves in these parts, nothing like that. So anyways, what are they doing? You know, the existentialism of the whole ordeal of the living being of the Sasquatch, right? what do they do? What's their purpose in life? Well, they observe and they watch. Just like you've heard that they mimic, you know. That's a whole nother side of it. If they're going to sit and watch people and try to mimic people, what are you going to, if you're a hairy beast in the woods, what are you going to do to mimic a person?
Well, now they're going to be staring at their palms if they've been watching for the past 5 or 10 years.
People. So the year is 2004. It is late November. The dew had fallen on the grass and frozen by 10:30 this night. It was very cold, very cold. And cold enough, we're down by Kingfisher Creek. It's the last bridge going north outside of Kingfisher that you cross, Kingfisher Creek. And everybody knows from around here that the dump is right to the right after that bridge.
Yep.
Well, we're on the south side of the creek, about 100 yards from the creek, maybe 120 or so. But there's about 3 or 4 trailers lined up at the end of a dead end road that falls into a long run of open field that is bob wired about 30 yards from the creek. Mm-hmm. You jump that bob wire, you cross the creek, you go up the other embankment, and there's the dump. This is where we're at.
Okay.
All right.
Yep.
So
you've painted a pretty spectacular picture.
Yes.
Very, very clear.
And this is where we're at. And romantic with the dump involved.
So. And it is. And it's again, it's Kingfisher Creek.
Yeah.
So we're going to bed. It's about 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, right? And we're going to sleep. And there's three of us. I'm staying with my buddy and his old lady. There's three of us snuggled together on this couch turned into a bed, keeping warm, next to a window to a back porch, 60 yards away from the fence, 100 yards away from the creek, up a steep embankment that this must have been a 30-foot. If you're standing at the fence, it's a good 30-foot to the top of that hill where the trailers are.
Okay.
And we're laying there getting ready, trying to go to sleep. And his dogs freak out. He has 2 or 3 dogs in the backyard on the back porch right outside the window by our heads. We've heard this yelp from this dog that you don't hear. This was a beastie, unscared, oh my gosh, yelp, right? Mm-hmm. And it startled my buddy, JC, whose dogs it was, because he knows his dogs, and his dogs are yelping, barking at you. If you're walking by, gonna get you, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so this really startled him, and he gets up and goes and checks it out. And he comes back in and he says, my dog is under the porch, cowering, shaking, scared. All my dogs are under the porch, scared. He said, I've never, ever seen my dogs be like this. Well, if you've investigated anything about any Bigfoot down in the northern Louisiana area and southern Arkansas, there's that boggy swamp, or B-O-G-E-Y, right? Mm-hmm. Boggy.
Yep.
And you hear about these hogs being stole down there. Well, mm-hmm. So only in hindsight, I'm going to go in hindsight here and say, I don't know, maybe they were trying to grab his dogs, and what were they going to do with his dogs? But so to continue with the story, here we go. He says, this is really weird. Something freaked out my dogs. I'm going to go get my neighbor. And he said that the neighbors, the trailer's right next door, is some Mexican mm-hmm. guy. And his toolbox has popped open. And he said he's seen something going around the corner. The Pioneer building is right down there, mm-hmm. about 60 yards to the right. And it's its own lot. And then there's the steep embankment down to the fence down the road, and there's two trailers between us and the fall of that embankment. And he's talking and he sees this toolbox. Well, he thinks burglar, but he seems right. Only in hindsight did I get him to tell me, and he was reluctant to do this because we don't know what we saw. He sees something weird going off that way, and it had something to do. But so he goes and wakes this Mexican guy up, and said, hey, your lockbox is popped up. And I don't know if JC just made that up and popped it himself to get this dude out there because he's seen something, or if it was really popped up. It could have been either way, but enough said that this dude's scared enough to get this guy out of here. And so by now they both have a gun and are legal to have a gun. They're walking and they're going on the hunt for someone that popped the toolbox. Well, only in hindsight did I find all this out, because me and his old lady are left in the house for 20, 25, 30 minutes. And she decides, man, my old man, where's my old man? I'm going to go find him. So she takes off. And after about 25 minutes, she takes off to go look for him. And so I sit there another 10 minutes. Nobody's come back. Haven't heard nothing. I'm going to go outside. So by now, it's 11:30. The grass is frozen. It's a heavy dew. And every step you make, you can look back and see your footprint in it. Mm-hmm. Every step. So I'm looking around, don't see nothing. And I'm in this, I just feel crazy, you know, and like something, it's weird because nobody's been around. And so I start following this grass trail. And I told you again, at 40 yards to the fallout of this embankment, two trailers between us, start following it and looking, what would have scared his dogs? I follow his fence line. I find a footprint. Well, it's a big footprint, but not too big. It's about a 10-inch footprint. And I'm thinking, this is weird. And I look for the next one. I look for a regular human stride, right?
Right.
The length of a stride, 5 to 6 foot. I don't find it. I don't find it anywhere. And I'm going to tell you, man, the grass is frozen. I can see this. There's a light. There's two or three street lights, and there's one at the very end of the embankment before the fall. There's a street light there. So I can't find it. Well, I go two strides, about 10 feet, and I see something. I'm like, this is okay. So he's running. But still, a 10-foot stride running.
That's a long stride.
That is a long.
I'm like, I don't know if I'm seeing this right. There's three people that have been walking out here now. I don't know what I'm seeing. I don't know what I'm seeing. I reach down and touch it. Feel the depth of it, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a single foot. I feel the heel at the toes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel most of the impression around the toes. And I feel an impression.
So could you see that it looked like a naked foot? It didn't look like somebody just had big feet with big boots out there.
No. So this footprint that I'm looking at is one width.
Mm-hmm.
From foot to toe, it's one width.
Okay.
And it's about the foot was about 16 inches long.
Damn.
The stride was 10 to 12 feet on what I'm looking at.
That's big. That's got to be a tall something or other.
Yeah.
No, and so I follow these footsteps to the end, to the embankment, and there's a light above me. And the embankment falls down to the fence line about 25 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know what I'm looking for. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm looking for my people still. I backtrack. I go back up. And I look for some other sets. And I go east towards the Pioneer Building, just right across the road. And I find their footsteps. And they're walking around the building. I can see two guys' footprints walking around the building, my buddies.
Mm-hmm.
But I also found this other footprint, and it, instead of being one width from toe to heel, it went to a point to the heel. And it was about 13. It wasn't 16 inches long. It was shorter than that, but it was still bigger than 10 inches. But it came to a point in the heel. So I kind of walk about a quarter the length of that Pioneer Building, and it's their supply building. It's a long building. And I didn't want to walk the back of it. I just didn't feel comfortable doing it. And the dump is straight to the left of me across a creek. And there's piles of cement on the high border of the creek. And there's still probably a 30-yard fall from these piles of cement down to the creek where I can see, which are about 30 yards away from me. So the creek's still 60 yards away from me, 40 yards. And I head back and I go back up to the last trailer again and start looking at my footprints. And I'm like, this is weird because I found two different weird footprints besides my buddy's footprints. And I know that they were human footprints, right? It was really weird finding this footprint that came to a point. And again, there was other weird things that I observed around in that corner with a, like a box, a white box out of kind of just laying out in the laying there out of the blue, you know, a cardboard box that was torn through that looked like it was clean and that someone was carrying it around or just wearing it or something. I don't know, something weird, but just something weird. And that'll come into play. So I go back and I go and I follow the trails again back down to the fence line. And I shoot left and it's an open field and the bridge where the bridge starts, the bridge is being reconstructed now, but where the bridge starts, it's a big open field that's bottoms out and gets flooded if the creek comes up. And the creek's probably only 20 yards from the end of that fence line. Well, I didn't go no more than 40 yards down close to that fence. And I'm in the middle of this open field and there's a tree. There's a big old viney tree grown in this old fence line that only about a 5 foot section of old fence that had been torn down and nobody else had thrown it away. And it was vines and a tree had grown up around it. And it's in the middle of this open field that's 100 yards by 100 yards, easy. And it's open right there going to the right of the bridge. So I'm looking there and see prints coming from that forest line at the fence line close to the bottom of the bridge. And I see some prints coming there and I follow them. And the stride in these prints, the foot was much bigger. I got to recap on that. Those first prints that I seen, again, they were only 10 or 12 inches. These were the prints that were 16 inches. I'm sorry about that. Okay. These were the prints that were 16 inches. And their stride, whenever the stride on this dude running, was 12 to 15 feet. Jeez. And again, the first stride that I seen was only 10 to 12. And I'm not kidding. Wow. So, again,
that's just...
I'm really investigating what's going on with this coming out of this fence line in here with this frozen grass. I remind you again, I'm looking at the frozen grass and I'm seeing real deal shit.
Yeah.
And I come up on it and what this thing, they were hunting. And if you were alone, a beast alone in the woods and you found another mate or found someone else, you would probably never leave those people because they're going to have so many pluses to that with hunting, with keeping warm, everything like that. There's going to be so many advantages to having a mate or a spouse or anything like that. It would probably be so rare for them to find a mate or spouse. But so I start thinking in my head, I'm looking at the existentialism, the living thoughts of this living creature, if it does exist. And if what I'm looking at is real, this is changing my whole life because what I'm looking at is blowing my mind. Yeah. And I'm in my head, what are they doing? What is going on? And so I back up, I'm looking at everything, and this thing had ran from the tree line to this little shrub area and laid down real fast. And what are they hunting? They must be hunting these dogs. And it made me think of the boggy swamp or the boggy swamp. It made me think of these hogs. Uh-huh. Yes, yeah. Boggy Creek. It made me think of those hogs. And what are they? They're probably eating them, but who knows, you know?
Yeah.
They're probably eating hogs, but what are they going to do with dogs? You know, they could eat them or they could just want them. But so they're definitely hunting. And so I'm thinking all this, and I found where this dude had crawled in the grass and suckled the moisture off the frozen grass. There was parts, and I couldn't explain, because it wasn't a footprint. It wasn't a handprint. It was just where the top of his body had laid in the grass, and there was a dry spot with no moisture on it. And I couldn't figure this out. Every piece of blade of grass all around me has a piece of frozen moisture on it. But I find this handful of grass that has no moisture on it. Maybe it was his breath. Wow. I was just thinking
that it could have been, if it wasn't him, like, you know, like you're saying,
okay,
drinking off. But so it could have been his breath, but still, it sounds like he was down on the ground for sure.
So I get up close to that fence line thinking maybe there's some hair stuck on the fence or something. But what I do find, I don't find that, but what I do find is these impressions where he's knuckled down on a knee with his foot, just like you're going to knuckle down and do the, you know, and put your knee on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And do that football player bow. What's his name?
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, the Tebow.
The Tebow.
Yeah. Right.
I find these impressions in the ground. And what I'm putting my fingers in the ground, and I find 5-toe impressions. But what nobody talks about are claws or, let's say, long toenails. But I also find these toenail indentions, long toenail indentions.
Hey guys, don't forget to follow us on all of our social media platforms. We're very 21st century. We're on Instagram at What's Your Weird Story. That's WATSYER, Weird Story. We're at Twitter. We're at What's Your Weird. We got a Facebook page. It's the What's Your Weird Story podcast Facebook page. Just remember that our your is your because we're folksy. And we also have a www.whatsyourweirdstory.com. That's www.whatsyourweirdstory.com. That's for all of your social media platforms. And those are ways you can contact us and set up an interview if you want to be a part of the show. So look us up.
This is all I find here, and I go back to the top of the hill. And I'm staring back at that open field and that fence line that I didn't near go close to. I was 50 yards away from that fence line. I remember I was in the middle of this open area. And I'm looking, and to the right of me, where all those mounds of cement are in that Pioneer building, I'm kind of stopped because I'm walking in and I'm kind of stopped like this, and the fence line is in front of me. It's a 5-link fence line. It's stretching in front of me, and it's open area, and at the very top is the top of the embankment, 30 feet above me, 40 yards away, 45 yards away. I can see my buddy standing under the night light, under the street light. And the top bob wire says bing, and I said, oh, this is, it's not my imagination. I've been down here for 40 minutes investigating this frozen grass. The bob wire just dung, the fifth wire on the top, not no bottom wire.
Yeah,
the fifth wire on the top. And right now I'm thinking about that. That's not no varmint. That's not. Maybe at best it's a deer, but I would have heard that deer scuffling through everything. Yeah. What's gonna, and that boggy creek, you hear that, they say that thing took 2 hogs under both arms and jumped this fence, leapt it.
Yeah.
They say that. Well, I'm thinking that, and I sit there and I hear this epiglottal sound from his epiglottis. He's glottaling from his epiglottis, okay? And it sounds like this. Now, Imagine that coming from a horse's throat. All right. That's how deep.
Wow.
And it traveled. That's how deep it was. Now, you've heard all these stories about wood knocking.
Yeah.
They call it wood knocking, right? Mm-hmm. Right then and there, I said, no, this is not wood knocking. You know what this is? This is them communicating with their throats, and they're glottaling their epiglottises. Yeah. It's not wood knocking. So I'm sitting there, and I look to my right, and I'm kind of frozen from this wood fifth line top barbed wire fence ringing on me. And I look to my right, and I'm looking, and I see something kind of tall, about 7-8 feet tall, and it's gray hair. And I realize this is the silverback female, clean, like she took a bath. She has no hair on her stomach. She has no hair, like, on her middle of her chest to her stomach. And her hair is clean and long on her shoulders and arms. And she stopped. And those footprints, those narrow footprints to the narrow heel I seen, this was the female. And look, she's clean. And she's mimicked me. She stopped, and she's in my position. And she's looking at me like I'm looking at her. Like in a mid-stride stance. And so we're both, like, looking at...
So she's like... She's copying you. She's completely, like, in but the same...
standing still. And they have communicated. And whatever's in front of me has communicated. Well, I look to my left. I look to my left, Adam. Nobody talks about toenails or claws. And nobody talks about this. And this is questionable. What makes me think it could be an... supernatural being, because a lot of times people, I've only seen it once, but they say lights or UFOs were seen around when they see this. Who knows? There could be portals. You know, they could be falling through some time space, but they're traveling the creek bed. No, I don't know. So, anyways, check this. So, I'm looking down at that fence line where I seen those large 12 to 15 foot strides with a 16 inch foot that was the same width from head to toe, from toe to heel. And I see this dark shadow, a really dark shadow that is about 10, 11 foot tall, towering, 3.5, 4 foot wide, something. And I'm far away, I'm 60 yards away. But what I notice are these two white glowing lights where his head should be. These little dim lights, and it's his eyeballs. And it was like he shook his head and his bangs fell over his eyes, and I couldn't see him no more.
Really?
That's weird.
So you're saying you're saying the eyes were illuminating, right?
Yes. Wow. Yes, I am saying that.
Wow.
Nobody talks about that, has ever said that.
You're in low light conditions. You know, you got some street lights coming from behind, but they're probably far away at this point.
Yes.
It's not like you're not getting like the reflection, like when you see a cat, you know, or a dog.
Residual,
right, and you get the reflection back, especially at night. But you're seeing the light coming from within.
No. So at this point in time, my buddy's standing at the top of the hill behind me, and I know he's there. And I said, this is it. And they've communicated. There was again, on the other side of the fence, I haven't told you this. On the other side of the fence, all that there is 6 foot reeds, the water reeds, right? It's all you can see. And it was like something moved through them with a whisper. And I couldn't imagine a big being doing that, but that was the noise, I promise you. Right after that ting of that fifth line, it was like something shimmied through those reeds and hardly touched any of them, like a varmint. But again, that fifth top line rang. So I said, I'm good. This is it. You want some proof of a Bigfoot? My buddy's going to watch me get kidnapped. And I'm going to sit here and let one of these mother suckers grab me right up. Is it going down? I'm down. I'm ready to do humanity a favor. You know what I'm saying? And I'll be missing. They might find a finger or something. Just do it. Wow, hey, wouldn't it be cool to be the guy that got taken?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
So, hey, I start waiting for death. I start waiting for death, okay? And I'm sitting there. 20 seconds go by. I'm like, oh, man, this is hard. I've never waited for death before. I never waited because I really felt it. I was, yeah. I'm serious.
Yeah, you had a heavy.
Changed my life.
You have a heavy, right, you had here. A heavy, heavy feeling coming on you. Yeah.
Not, it wasn't something that. Like that, no, it didn't feel like so anything.
You weren't scared or you, no, were you just like,
it was the whole waiting for something that I know is there that could really happen.
Right. Yeah.
It wasn't an ominous feeling. It was not an ominous feeling. It wasn't nothing like that. Okay. I decided I was going to give my life for some aspect for someone to see me get taken by something. Cause my buddy's watching me cause he knows something's weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm standing down there. He's at the top of the hill. He's 40 yards away. I'm at the bottom. He can see me from that street light. I'm at the 5-link fence. I'm like, I'm not going to cross it. And I know something's right on the other side of those reeds. And I see those eyes down there. And I know something's over there. And I seen this thing over here. A family. A freaking family.
A Bigfoot family.
Nobody talks about families either.
Wow. Family units are weird. Those are very, very rare in all the stuff that I've heard about different, you know, stories of Sasquatch stuff. You hear it every once in a while, but I would say probably like less than 10%. You know, I think most of the time you hear it's all generally speaking, you know, you see one, but you don't see them together or acting like that.
That's exactly what I was thinking earlier. Anytime you think of Bigfoot, you think of a solo creature wreaking havoc on a few drunk people out in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
Or something, you know, you think of them as a single being.
Yeah.
But so I can only wait for death for about 30 seconds, and that was enough for me. And I take off. This is it. I'm gone. My buddy's up top hill. I go back up. And I'm like, what's up? He's like, oh, I thought, and I told you everything that he said about he thought someone popped that box, the toolbox. And he plays it off as nothing weird. And I'm like, okay. And I kind of tell him my story, and he was real weird. And we go to bed, and it's like 2:00 in the morning. It's like 1:00 in the morning. I don't know. This started at, I was out there at 11:30. I'm telling you, I was out there till 1:00. Right. I'm serious. Right. I was looking at this stuff in depth. Couldn't believe my eyes. I'm putting my hands in this stuff. I couldn't believe it. This is why it took so long. So I just couldn't believe it. I'm like, I know how nighttime goes. I know things are never the same when the sun comes up. I've never done that. That's why I've spent so long there. So I go to bed and I wake and we're up. He's got to go to work at 6:00, 6:30. I call my aunt 7:00. I'm like, girl, you don't believe this. You got to get down here with the camera. She thinks that I'm screwed up or something. She doesn't believe me, you know. But I walk down there myself, 7:30 in the morning. Sun's coming up, sun's up. The grass is still frozen. And everything's still there. The grass starts to unfreeze about 8:30. Mm-hmm. I start to lose my dew. But what I decided to do that I didn't do the night before was cross that 5-link fence and go down to the creek. So I do this. I'm not seeing anything abnormal, finding nothing weird. Oh, but the flood had just receded, okay? Mm-hmm. So what we have everywhere are a big pile of leaves, branches, dirt, trash. Everything is covered in a red dirt from sediment after the flood recedes. Everything.
Yeah.
But you know what I find? A few objects such as a Mountain Dew bottle fit perfectly in its little cradle of leaves that it were wet and smashed into that formed perfect to it. But it's got a space between it, and the Mountain Dew bottle is clean as is like someone rubbed the dirt off of it. But everything around it is covered in red dirt. I find a few other things, a Pop-Tart package that is clean, no dirt on it, you know, and something else. And, but still laying there exactly back as it laid, as the water receded and left it there soaking wet in amongst the leaves with its form built in the leaves. I find a few things like this, like these creatures were studying them. They picked them up and looked at them, and they touched them and cleaned them off and looked at them and set them right back down where they were, you know, in this tree that I find. Okay, so I look, I'm at the creek bed. It's mud, 5 foot worth of mud to the water from the shrubs and vegetation. And I'm looking for footprints. And what I do find are these smudges of someone tracking out of the creek. It was probably 16 degrees, maybe 10 degrees, and they're walking in the water in the middle of the night. These, for real, because these imprints that I seen in the mud, these were smudges. They weren't hardcore footprints. They were smudges like you're drudging through the mud.
Right,
there was
right.
hair frozen into the mud on each side of these smudges, these almost footprints. There's hair, their hair off their legs, where it had hit the mud and left imprints in the top of the mud. I find this. I look further down, and I'm remembering that female was clean as clean, like she took a shower, a silverback. This dark gray and light gray hair like a gorilla. And I find this, like someone crawled out of there and rolled and crawled out of this the embankment in the mud and got dirty on purpose. And that dark shadow, it all made sense. He covered himself in mud. And they were hunting. They had been following these dogs. They'd probably been nomadic. Maybe, who knows if where they go, what a day or two, just passing through. If they smell them, they hear these dogs barking. But they set up a game plan because they're a team. And if you found your team, you would never, ever, it's it'd be an advantage for sure. Yeah. And the bark, this tree where he came up out of the creek covered in mud, I find this tree, and these objects are within a 15-foot radius of this tree, and there's no bark on this tree. Again, the flood line didn't go as high as where the bark was gone, and the other tree still had bark covered in red sediment around them, but there was no bark on this tree, and it was kind of clean, like they were just scrubbing their on it. I don't know. Who knows? I don't know. They wouldn't do that. I don't know.
Well, they had some reason to clean the bark off of it for something.
It was like they were just, I don't know, like.
Were you able to show your was it, did you say your aunt?
I wanted her to get her down there with a digital camera and take the pictures of the imprints.
Yeah.
Because I could put my fingers and hands in these imprints of these footprints, and the stride when this dude's running from the, I'm serious. It was a 10 or 12 foot stride, 1 foot to the other foot. That's with the adult male.
Oh,
okay. So I'm thinking the adult male isn't who came up here and tried to grab these dogs. He's down there watching.
Yeah.
He's watching the cars cross the bridge. That female, she's way over here to the east, and she's on the other side of the building. She's just being protected. She's just watching her. I don't know what she does. But who does stupid stuff? I'm thinking about this all morning, you know. Who does stupid stuff? And teenagers. Who's got the balls to do crazy shit? Yeah. Teenagers.
Right.
They're going to send a teenager to go do some crazy shit.
Right.
And that stride wasn't as big, and the footprints weren't as big as that down there.
Makes sense, because, you know, I mean...
Wow.
I couldn't believe it. Hey, it changed my life, because I couldn't believe that I'm seeing three different tracks. And I also seen the human tracks, and they weren't the same.
Yeah.
That's crazy, man. Now, your friend, did your friend ever see any of that? I mean...
So, he didn't want to talk about it, and...
So, he got weirded out. Like, he got...
It makes me think, why did I get to see this? Why... And it's almost a religious experience.
Right.
It felt like a religious experience.
Right.
And it made me it makes me veer towards more of it being more of a supernatural thing, like they allowed it.
Yeah.
But yeah. No, they're hunting animals and being nomadic, so they're definitely not. I don't know.
You remember Adam, the guy we talked to at the Bigfoot Festival, the one of the gentlemen, the Indian older gentleman, and he was talking about seeing the Bigfoot, and he had an experience where it's kind of like it's kind of an out of body experience when it turned around, and he was like as he's telling us the story, his hair on his arm starts to raise. He's like, look, I'm getting goosebumps. He's like, you know, I mean, you could just tell that it was real. I mean, he was, whatever he was feeling and seeing was real, you know? So we're looking for a little help from our friends. We need you, our loyal listeners, to help us spread the word about the What's Your Weird Story podcast. Just go to your current podcast provider, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Podbean, YouTube. We're just about everywhere. Hit the subscribe button, download the podcast, give us a thumbs up, hit the like button, give us the highest rating you can, and give us a review. The What's Your Weird Story podcast is a community effort. Without our friends and listeners, it wouldn't be possible to do what we do. So please help us out by spreading the word.
The first 2 years I told this story, every time I would get goosebumps and I couldn't help it.
Yeah.
Dude, I got goosebumps telling this story, dude.
But I've told it so many times, it's happened, man. But I started questioning myself after that first. Like, did it really happen, you know?
Yeah.
No, that's intense.
I put my hands in there, in those impressions.
That's crazy, dude. That is insane.
What you're describing is, they're right there on the edge of the northern edge of town and in a lesser populated area, and that would be a perfect place for them to come in and, you know, rifle through trash or open and investigate whatever's going on, get tools. Who knows what they were doing? Like you were saying, you know, maybe they popped it up. Maybe there was somebody else that was down there that popped it open. Maybe, you know, who knows? But something happened, and your buddy not wanting to talk about it that seems very strange to me. That's telling of something.
Yeah.
It's very telling of something. Mm-hmm. So,
you know, to get even weirder, that white box that was down there, and I told you that they probably sit and observe us because they're mm-hmm. laying there in wait, hunting,
mm-hmm. yeah.
watching these cars, maybe seeing people. They're this close. They're that close. That's pretty close to humanization. And it was like maybe they put that box on like a T-shirt. It was weird.
Mm.
Wow.
Well, you know, that box could have had, it may have been that, it could have been anything. They may have been trying to figure out what the hell it was.
The one thing that JC did tell me, is that he's seen a white blur, like a tank guy in a tank top, is what he said, like a white blur. And down around that corner, a pioneer running behind the building, that was the only thing white down there. And it was like there wasn't any frozen do on that box. It was weird. I mean, if they're gonna mimic.
Yeah. That's, man.
Yeah. I've heard an account of someone, a friend of mine, seeing a female Bigfoot, and how you described her is very similar to how he described her.
Can you tell me some of that? Because I've never heard any.
So here's what he said. Now, I've known this guy for a long time, and he told me this. He used to live in Northern California, and he was up kind of in the mountainous area where, like, the redwoods are. And he said that he was on a hike, and he came across this creature, and he said that she was stunning, is what he said. And he said she had human female sort of type characteristics, but she was not human. She was an ape or ape-like, and that he told me that she didn't have as much fur as you would think a Bigfoot creature would have, but she had long hair, like the hair on her arms. Yes,
it was long.
Exactly. It wasn't like
8 inches long.
It wasn't cover. The way I took it, and I could have taken it wrong, but it was like, it was wispier type of hair.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly how it was. So, and she was... And it was, I didn't see no breast.
Right.
But I'm sure that that's why it was less hair.
Right. Yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah, that's interesting.
That totally, but her hair was wispy all around her shoulders and her outside of her arms. And it was just wavy looking. You could tell she was clean. Like, again, I'll tell you, like she just took a shower.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, my friend is an artist, so I'm going to try to have him draw that. But he told me he couldn't take his eyes off of her. He said that when he came in contact with her, he was just like, she saw him too. And so he was just like, they were just sort of stuck on each other. And he was just like,
that's it. That's what we was doing.
Yeah.
But she was mimicking me. She was mimicking me is what they're doing. Crazy. They're mimicking you.
Wow, that's man. Wild. Isn't that crazy?
That's wild.
That is
wild. There was nothing supernatural except for the eyeballs.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and I mean, that's something that down there at the festival that a lot of people were talking about was that, you know, that the UFO thing is common occurrence. Well, it's a common tale, a belief, you know, that people have that, you know, it's, and we were down there and man, that area is ripe for that kind of stuff. Now we were down in southeastern Oklahoma. It's very dense.
I've been
amazing
up there in the mountains at the spot where they actually did guides, and there's a big wooden cutout Bigfoot. Maybe you've seen it.
Okay.
It's back there on some back roads around Highway 1. Yeah.
And you could see how things like that may happen. You know,
absolutely.
Something could live out there that we don't know. You know, it's dense, so.
And if the area that you're describing is, if there were going to be any kind of creatures, you know, animals, bigger sized animals around the city, they would be traveling around that area down in the creek beds.
Because, we keep saying living there. I don't think that they live anywhere.
Yeah, I think that they would probably be nomadic, like you said, because, you know,
nobody talks about that. Nobody talks about it being nomadic. Well, there's a question. There is.
Yeah.
But I brought up three good points, I thought, you know, their claws, their eyeballs, and kids.
Yeah.
A family unit.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Every once in a while, you hear about, like, tree markings, but that also, you know, bears do tree markings, and sometimes even panthers will do as well, but they describe a different kind of a tree marking where it's more of a human or ape-like hand, you know, that is with the tree marking, with scratching on the trees and the barks and stuff.
It made it more humanistic with me that they had picked that trash up and there was no sediment on that trash and it was laid perfect back into nature like it was left, found.
Yeah.
That was pretty respectful, like a respectful thing in nature kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, also, that's a good way to not get caught.
Yeah.
You know, because not everybody's going to observe that, especially people. You know, we don't really observe unless you're trained, you don't observe a lot of the finer details. And if you know, something like that where you pick it up, you may look at it, but you put it back in place exactly as it is, then that is definitely where you are trying to leave, you know, as little evidence that you're there. That's a survival skill kind of thing.
I got to tell you, falling into their heads was real close to being a supernatural feeling, you know, just thinking about it and thinking, what the heck are they doing?
I can imagine, man.
And another thing, if the big one, like you said, if he went and covered himself in the mud, a reason for him to do that would cover his scent.
Yes, you know? While we're talking, I'm thinking about that. I don't know. It's weird.
If they're hunting, that is what you would do.
Why are his eyes glowing, though, you know?
That is the biggest thing.
Maybe he's an extraterrestrial leading these other beings and pretending to be something and having to hide his sins.
Well, you know, yeah. We just talked to somebody, and he was saying how a lot of how there's with extraterrestrials, there's schools of thought that they are from they're from space, but there's also a school of thought that they're either extra dimensional or they're things like, you know, where they're modern interpretations of like fairies and other supernatural old school beliefs of these kinds of things where you have abductions and all of that kind of stuff. It's definitely possible.
Be dimensional.
Their UFO sightings around are commonly connected to Bigfoot. Not every single one, but a lot of them. Enough of them to where, you know, it's in stories and it's in literature that people have been writing and reporting. It is a trend, you know. So who knows, dude? We just don't know, you know.
Yeah.
And I mean, we talked about this before. I think we talked, maybe I've been off air, but I definitely believe that there is a plausibility and a likelihood that there is some kind of a animal that we don't know about, because we don't know about everything on the earth, but there's possible that, you know, there is a biological entity that is this kind of, you know, greater ape, kind of like Bigfoot thing, whatever we want to call it, where I think it's a possible thing.
I'm not sure on the exact facts of this, but I do know that there's been no wild bear ever found until after 2010 in the wild. It's whenever they go off and die, you know, they've never found the wild bear's remains because they go off by themselves until in the past 10 years.
Which is another thing they talked about at the Bigfoot Festival. That was another thing that they brought up, is that that could explain why you don't find these creatures, if they are a living creature, why you don't find graves, because they do that. They are masters, or that is part of their culture or whatever, to go off, die, and not be found, you know?
Yeah. And again, that's another survival technique, because, you know, the dead or the dying, if they're conscious of what's happening, you know, they leave, or even, you know, on a small level, they leave the rest because, you know, they could, you know, the decaying body, the decaying flesh could be harmful to the rest of the group, you know, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
And there are also in other traditions and other cultures, old cultures, you would have it where the person would wander off on their own to die, you know?
Right.
So it's hard to believe that we can't find any dead bear bones,
right,
to me, but that's, this is a fact that I've heard or seen on something.
Yeah.
And you guys said they were talking about the Bigfoot Festival. I wish I could have went. It was cool. I knew someone who did go.
I encourage you to go next year.
Dude, definitely. It's a lot of fun.
It is. And people are cool, and they like to talk.
Yeah, dude. Yep.
You'll find
people. They had lectures that were really fun. And I know there's like at least a couple in the area, but that's, you know, we went to that one down in Hanobia, and it was, we had a blast.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
That Podo area down there is pretty cool. It was cool for me to be right there where the guides give guides. Down here, they have this big old wood cut out of this giant Sasquatch, you know, and it says tours or something. But I was on a prison crew at the time, so we were just walking, picking up trash.
Well, now you can go back as a free man.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, and enjoy it, man. No, it's cool, and it's a rich, you can tell, ecologically rich area. And
it's certainly different from where we grew up.
Definitely.
You know what I'm excited about right now, though, is this. They're saying that the Antarctic water is warming up twice as fast as the rest of the planet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if that snow melts up there, if there's pyramids and stuff up there, that snow melts away if we see more.
Well, go ahead.
There's dirt. We definitely know there's stuff underneath there. We don't know what it is could be anything.
Yep.
And we knew about Antarctica before, like, there have been on maps, old maps, where it shouldn't have been the coastline and stuff. And, you know, so, I mean, that's going to be, it's cool on the aspect that we're going to learn things, but also it's not such a great idea because, you know, we do have all of this ice heating, warming up, and, you know, that could be, it could be extremely disastrous to all the coasts around the world. So
yeah, but you know, that is another, the pyramid idea is another fascinating, you know,
oh, how universal that is.
I mean, it's like, you know, why were we driven to build structures in every, you know, continent on the freaking planet?
For sure.
Oh, man, and just the YouTube blows my mind because we're getting so much information, be able to see so many stories in about, for instance, about the mercury that they've been finding under those pyramids at the two different places.
Right.
You know, they're definitely power stations.
Yeah, it's crazy stuff. There's a lot of cool resources for that kind of stuff. One of my, I guess, favorite, couple of my favorite guys to listen to is Graham Hancock. Do you know who Graham Hancock is?
Oh, sir.
He is a geologist, basically. Well, he's a guy that studies geology. He studies old civilizations and then there, God, who's, I'll have to think of the other guy's name. Together they talk about, like, you know, if you start dating the pyramids, you start dating the Sphinx, you got to go back like 25,000 years in order to get the amount of rain that you see on the Sphinx, you know, the water erosion, which blows every piece of, you know, evidence out of the water that we've been presented as how old those things are, how old those structures are. It's just, it's fascinating stuff. I love that kind of stuff, man.
Yeah. The newest stuff I've seen on the Sphinx was that it was remodeled. His face was remodeled.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
heard that?
Yep.
Thousands right. of years.
Right. Yeah, one of the most recent things I've definitely heard on the Sphinx was about how it is definitely, it was there before, their speculation, I should say, because we don't know for sure, but, you know, there's speculation that it was there for a lot. It was ancient by the time the pyramids were built. Yeah. So who knows, you know?
Yeah.
And definitely we know that, well, we know the face has been remodeled because Napoleon, his troops were down there and they were using the face for target practice. Yeah. And that's why there's no nose, you know, they're shooting it and stuff. And, you know, because
Randall Carlson is the other guy I'm thinking of, guys. Okay. Just another guy to check out. Again, he's a geologist. He studies ancient culture. He studies geology. He studies crater impacts. I mean, he puts things together in a way that is fascinating. That kind of gives you the history of the Earth, you know, and he and Grant Hancock together come together and sort of share ideas, and it's really good stuff, man. So.
Cool.
That was awesome.
Checking out. Yeah. Well, hey, man. Dude, thank you, Shan. Appreciate you, brother.
Dude, that was a great, amazing story.
Really.
I hope something else crazy happens to me, and I'll tell you about it.
Come back.
Definitely,
yeah.
Definitely let us know, man.
I'm waiting to get abducted, so.
You're in the right area, dude.
So we want to try an experiment. We want to get stories from you, the listener, for us to read on air.
What we're saying is if you don't feel comfortable being interviewed on air, you can type up your story and send it to us, and we will have it read, and we'll share your story that way.
It'll be a cross between us telling your story and our reactions to your story.
So what we'll probably do is have a third party read your stories, and we'll react as we typically do.
And we want to try this as an experiment. It's an idea that we've come up with.
Now, granted, we can't ask you the questions we would normally ask someone who is involved in the story, but we may have our reader just make up stuff.
That could be part of the charm.
And it's a little silly, but we're going to try it, and it'll be fun.
You know, I got to say, he was so concerned about bringing the level of energy that he felt like the story deserved. I believe he accomplished that.
Yeah. His express of the lack of enthusiasm that he would have telling it now as opposed to the first 200 times.
Yeah.
I would love to have seen it because, he was very animated.
Yeah.
And very enthusiastic and very into it. And man, that was great. That was just amazing stuff. Yeah. And, you know, and he's been doing his research post experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he's got his theories on everything. And that was just a really, really, really cool story.
Yeah.
And I have heard nothing like that around our hometown. And dude, you know, it's really crazy because we keep talking to more people from our hometown. And, you know, I always thought Kingfisher was like really just a very normal place. Obviously, you would have regular little crimes here and there. Maybe somebody got shot, something like that.
Yeah.
Nothing major, nothing big, nothing really scandalous.
Mm-hmm.
But like the more and more we hear about this stuff, there's a pocket of weirdness right there.
There really is. And it's something that you got to be open, you know, to in order to understand. And there's a reason why there's not very many people talk about it, because it is such a small town. Word travels fast and you start talking about stuff like that.
Exactly.
And things get, you know, a little bit out of control. But he just you could tell that whatever it is that he saw and whatever it was that he experienced totally changed him. You know, it major
life impact on that.
It seemed like something that was it just imprinted on him, you know. And I can imagine, because if you're going through something like that in the moment, and it seems like it wasn't a very quick thing. It was like something that was dragging out.
Well,
and,
you know, he was stalking them. They were stalking him, you know. I mean, I don't know. I if I saw Bigfoot, I don't know what I would do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know how. I'm sure it would be a life-altering experience. Of course.
Yeah.
But like, dude, to see that, that's just, and to be like keeping yourself that collected while you're experiencing that.
Yeah.
And to be paying attention to the levels of details. Like he was talking about how the Mountain Dew bottle was, I think he said it was picked up, like cleaned off and then put back in place. Just the amount of detail. I'm sure he's gone over it time and time again in his mind. Still, that's really cool.
Yeah, it was an incredible story. Appreciate Shan for coming on and sharing that
with us. Yeah, dude, thank you very much, man. You hit us with a cool one, and we really appreciate that. And we got you in quick, and you hit it out of the park, dude, so we appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you.
So, all right. Well, hey, everybody, thank you for listening to episode 21 of the What's Your Weird Story podcast. We look forward to hearing more. We got some more returning guests coming up in the next few weeks, and we got some new stuff, and we got some stuff that's a little bit of a change of direction in the weird-averse, or the weird story-averse, or whatever we're calling this, you know.
this verse?
This verse, you know, this place of this plane of existence, this podcast. Yeah. Stick with us and bring us your weird, bring us your stories, bring it all, you know, tell your friends, get us out there, help us out, leave us some good ratings and some good reviews, and, you know, download the episodes and keep positive for, you know, this new year that we're still experiencing. I think we can still safely wish people a happy new year.
Oh, yeah. For a good month or so. Yeah.
At least through January.
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah. 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 Awesome, man. Well, again, thanks to everybody for listening, and we'll see you guys next week.
As always, if you have a weird story, we want to hear it.
If you have a lot of them, we want to hear them all.
We can't do this podcast without your invaluable contributions.
Whether it's sharing your stories,
listening,
rating,
and spreading the word about the podcast. Thanks for listening. Until next time, be safe.
Be weird.
The stories presented on the What's Your Weird Story podcast are, to our knowledge, true experiences that our guests have had. We can't take the time to research all claims made, and besides, it's just not as fun.